There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning.
You are listening to the Daily Doctrine Devotional. This is a daily podcast designed to teach and preach Bible doctrine each weekday throughout the year. This is Evangelist Tim McVeigh asking you to please let others know about this podcast so that they can subscribe or tune in each weekday. At the end of the podcast, we will provide you with subscription information as well as contact information for our ministry. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God.
And the saints all with gladness are singing the glorious song of the redeemed. Song of the redeemed.
Thank you for tuning into the Friday edition of the podcast. We've made it through another week on the podcast. We're thankful for each of you that tune in, each of you that listen. Thank you for our new subscribers. We've seen folks even just recently have asked us about subscribing. They've told us they've subscribed to the podcast, been listening, and we rejoice in that. We thank the Lord for each and every one of you. Before I start the podcast today, I know some of you listen to this later on, but some of you will be listening on Friday, maybe on Saturday, and there's an urgency in some prayer needs of some folks that we know, and I'm just going to name some names on here, and some folks that we know very well. There's probably about 7 or 8 people right now that we know are either in the hospital or under hospice care, and that's an unusually high number for us. I know my sister has a coworker whose mother just had a major heart operation, and I do not know her name, but she certainly needs prayer. She recovers from a two-way bypass as well as a valve replacement. And then I know that my stepfather, Bill McEwen, I've asked for prayer for him on here before. He's just not doing well. He's under hospice care. He's at home with my mom. My mom is taking care of him along with the nurses from hospice, but he's just not doing well. He certainly needs a touch from the Lord. We're asking the Lord to just intervene if it be his will. And then we have some dear friends of Shippensburg, Pennsylvania, the patriarch of the family. His name is Floyd. He is not doing well either. Certainly needs a touch from the Lord. He's under hospice care. We just ask prayer for him. And then we have a dear friend of ours up in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, Pastor Elwood Heller and the folks up there. And his son, Zachary Heller, is undergoing surgery on Tuesday, Lord willing, the 31st. And that's going to be over in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And he just needs the Lord's help. He's going to be in one of the great cardiovascular hospitals in America, the Temple University. But Zach, he just needs a touch from the Lord. He's got some lung issues, some heart issues, and it's a very serious operation. We have some other friends of ours recovering from surgery up in New York. We have some friends with surgery upcoming. And just other folks. Then we have a dear man in our church, Rich Forney. Rich has been suffering for the last 3 years with cancer. God has given him these years of life, and we rejoice that God has given him that life. But Rich has some serious needs right now. And he's been in the hospital for a couple of days, and they've had to use plastic surgery to reinsert a port for Rich. And so we just ask you to pray for him. And again, I normally don't name names on here, but there's just an urgency. You know, if you were pretty sick with cancer, pretty sick in hospice coming in, I think you'd probably want your name mentioned in prayer. And so we do that out of respect for people, not giving too many details, but some of these things are very public. And so we just ask you to pray. We believe there's a God in heaven that hears and answers prayer. And we believe that he answers according to the goodness of the Lord. And we just plead the Lord for his goodness to abound to these folks that we've made mention of. We're in Psalm 126, Psalm 127 today. The first is a song of degrees. The second is a song of degrees for Solomon. And we'll look at that in a few moments. But Psalm 126, one of those great passages, one of my favorite psalms, one of my favorite passages in all the scripture. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And all that God would turn the captivity of our nation, the United States of America, but also the captivity of souls. But he's talking about a nation. He's talking about a people. When God turned that captivity, God brought them out of Egypt land. And then later on, God brought them out of Babylon, where they hung their harps on those willow trees. They could not play the Lord's song in a strange land. And God delivered them. But you know, the nation of Israel is in a great plight today. They're under great duress today. Ever since they became a nation, when Exodus sailed into Exodus sailed into Tel Aviv, and they boarded the ship, and they came into Israel, and God began to form that nation over there. Israel has been oppressed on every side. They have been pushed on every side. The United States used to be a friend to Israel, but not anymore. We're not. We've turned our back on them. We've made leagues again with Arafat. We've made made leagues with Iran against them. We've made leagues with Egypt, with Jordan, other nations that have gone against them. And it's caused great duress in the United States. And we ourselves are in a lot of trouble because of that. But when the Lord did turn their captivity, he said they were like them that dream. Then our mouths were filled with laughter. And I love this great statement. And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I've always applied that to my own life. When the Lord turned my captivity, other heathens looked on and said, oh, the Lord hath done great things for Tim McVeigh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the Lord has done great things for us. And the Lord has done mighty, mighty works in my life and how I bless his name and I praise his name. But the longer I'm saved, you know, I find more joy in watching others that come to Christ and watching God turn the captivity of others, watching those been imprisoned and God turn their captivity, watching those in the bondage of sin and God turn that captivity. What a joy that is to this preacher. What a joy that brings to my heart to watch others when their mouth is opened up with laughter and their tongue with singing. And then other heathen look on at their life and they realize at some point in time, the Lord hath done great things for them. And then in verse 3 says, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. And the Lord hath done great things for us. We only do this podcast because the Lord hath done great things for us. We're only able to maintain this podcast because the Lord hath done great things for us. In verse 4, he says, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And so again, here's a people in captivity, here's a people in bondage, and they're looking for the Lord to do great things one more time for them. And I'd like to say in this day, in this hour, in this great falling away that we're in, when men have hardened their hearts against God, and even King James Bible preaching churches have clouded the doctrines of salvation, and they've turned to hyper-dispensationalism and hyper-Calvinism and hyper-diaper and everything else under the sun, I'd like to see in this day, I'd like to see God turn the captivity of some. I'd like to see a mighty stirring of God. I'd like to see holiness come across the face of this nation one more time. And God in holiness to sweep across this country and see folks saved, see folks birthed again. We got folks in our own church that need to be born of God. We got folks all across this nation we know in churches that need to be born of God. I got family members that need to be born of God. We need that move of God. We need God to turn that captivity. It ought to be our prayer. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. And then he said in verse 5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I had a reference written down here for today, and it's in Psalm 14 and verse 7. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When the Lord bringeth back the captivity of his people, Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. That God would turn that captivity one more time. The only thing left in captivity was the seed. That's all they had in captivity. They had the precious word of God. And my friend, that's what's going to free men today. That's what's going to loose men today. They had that precious seed. They had the word of God in captivity. And they could look at that word and know there's a God that would hear them. Know there's a God that was interested in their plight and took an interest in their calamity and loved them with an everlasting love. That he therefore with loving kindness, he said, have I drawn thee? He that goeth forth and weepeth, verse 6, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I know that's often used as a soul-winning verse. It's often used that we would bear precious seed, we would go and take the word of God, but you realize that the seed is the word of God. It's the only thing we have. It's the only thing that matters. I preached the other night in our home church on Wednesday night, and I talked about the only thing that matters is what we've done with the word of God. All these affairs of life and a nation's at ease when they can have sports betting and blood sport and everybody's concerned about sports and guys in their underwear chasing a football around and guys in their short shorts playing a basketball game and everybody's concerned about all of those things. And it's a nation that's at ease. It's a nation that's too comfortable. It's a nation that's not gone through great tragedy. But my friend, when that tragedy comes upon us and sport means nothing and these athletes mean nothing, folks are starving, folks are hungry, folks are in despondency. If we get to that place as a nation, which I believe we soon will, the only thing left people are going to find out that has any value, that has any merit, it's not in Hollywood, it's not in television, it's not in sport, it's not in gaming, it's not in gambling, it's not in entertainment. The only thing that's going to have any value in this nation, because when you're hungry, the only thing you can do is pray. When you have no access to food, the only thing you do is pray. Children of Israel in the wilderness had no access to water. What do? They prayed. And God showed Moses to smite that rock. They got hungry out there in the wilderness. God provided them with manna, that picture of the Word of God, the water of the Word of God, the bread of life, the water that God gives, the bread that God gives, the Word of God. That's what God sustains with. That's what matters in this life. And oh, my friend, we got so many distractions and so many things we hold so dear to us and so many things that we just could not live without. But man must have the Word of God, and he must live on the Word of God. He must feast on the Word of God. It must be his thing. Everything else comes second to that. And when God turns that captivity, it'll be because of that precious seed. And so the he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, this precious King James Bible, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Take the Word of God to folks. And then Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon. And of course, this is written for he, because he's going to build the house of the Lord. And it says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I know that's often used for building your home and building your family, building the church house. But the literal here is that Solomon was going to build the house of God, but it had to be a work of God. And no matter how grand that work would be, it had to be God's work. Just like that tabernacle in the wilderness, it was a work of God, designed by God, showed to Moses the pattern of it, the heavenlies was given to Moses. All of it was a work of God. And so is the house that Solomon's going to build. And he said, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. And my friend, you can have guards and you can have watchmen, but it's the Lord is our protector. The Lord is our shield and our buckler. The Lord is our watchman. And my friend, what do we need more in this life than the Lord? We need the Word of God. We need his protection. We need his shelter. When health comes upon us and situations of health come upon us, the Lord is the one that knows. The Lord is the great physician. He's the one that sustains us and protects us, and he keeps us. In verse 2, it is vain for you to rise up early. And oh, how I've clung to that verse so many times. And he said, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. There's so many things in life I could stress about and worry about and fret about. But oh, I could just lay my head on my pillow at night. Even I wake in the wee hours of the morning, there's times the Lord will wake me with a heavy burden. And there's times sometimes fear will smite my heart in the middle of the night, and fear of my family and fear over my children. And there's times as I'll wake up early sometimes and just fretting and realizing that I'm not trusting God in these things. And oh, I can turn to him and just believe the Word of God and know that the Lord is our shelter and know that he gives his beloved sleep. Why? Because it's vain for us to stay up. It's vain for us to eat the bread of sorrows. Our health is in God's hand. Our life is in God's hand. Our family is in God's hands. Our safety is in God's hands. Everything that we have is in God's hands. And my friend, if you walk with him and you delight yourself in the Lord, he's still to give you the desires of your heart. And I believe just as much as you can tote a gun for safety and you can carry a 45 for safety, I believe a man can pray and God protect him. I believe a man could live in a state or a city where you're not allowed to illegally carry a gun. You're not allowed to have a concealed weapon, and you can be just as safe in the hood without a weapon in your pocket as you can be out in the middle of the woods with a 45 in your pocket, because the Lord is our shield. The Lord is our buckler. The Lord giveth safety. Safety is of the Lord. And I believe that as much as I'm sitting here tonight. I've gone into cities where it's absolutely illegal to carry. I've gone to places where you get caught with a gun in your pocket, you'll do 10 years in prison. And you know what you do? You walk down the street with your head held high for the glory of God. You stand and preach the Word of God with boldness. You stand with the confidence of a man that knows Jesus Christ. And there is no greater confidence. There is no greater joy than to know Jesus Christ. And my friend, if a man can be cast into a den of lions and God put his hand upon him and shut the lion's mouth, that they can't harm him. I say that God can take care of a man today, and God can protect a man today, and God can give safety to a man today, just like he did to Daniel back in the lion's den. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's part of the safety of the Lord. That's part of the protection to give you those children. Think of those ones, and you're kind of saying this in your old age, those ones that'll take care of you. We're dealing with that now when so many people in our lives, as I myself, I'm over 50 now, and I look around at my fellow laborers and some of my compatriots in ministry and friends and fellowship, and they're taking care of their parents now. And we've had a dear pastor friend that took care of his father for several months, and his father went to be with the Lord, now taking care of his mother. And I watch as my mom's taking care of my stepdad. And one of these days, the reality is we may have to take care of our mothers. And you know, that's that heritage of the Lord. It's that fruit of the womb. It's a glory to God. And my friend, what a safety that is in your latter years to look at those children and know those children will take care of your needs, and those children love their parents, and those children honor their father and their mother. They've given themselves to that because they've been raised in the heritage of the Lord. What a joy that is, and what a peace that brings to my heart. Even as I preach that, the thing about in the years of my age, if my health would fail me, that God has given me these three children. And I've raised them in the nurture and admonition of Jesus Christ and taught them to honor their father and their mother, and that they would come and take care of their father. And I have no doubt that they will. And I know others that there's no doubt their children, if they came down to it, would come take care of their needs. I got a dear Christian brother right now. He's with his father every single day. And his father was a great man. I mean, a great man, one of the finest Christians, a praying man, a holy man, a godly man. And he's losing his mind. He can't think right. He doesn't do right. And I watched that dear brother struggle with that, but yet he's the son. He's the son of his father. And oh, that's how he takes care of his dad, because he loves his dad and he cares about him because he was raised to care about him. And sometimes there's nobody else to help, but that man goes over there every day with his father and every day with his dad and sits with him and feeds him and clothes him and helps him. And oh, that's a heritage that only God can give. The wicked don't have that. Some do, but most don't. Nursing homes are filled with people that lay their head on their pillow at night and weep because no one comes to see them. Their children don't care, or they never had children. And in their old age, they regret that, and they lament that they never had those children. And those children don't care about their condition. And oh, my friend, what a tragedy that is. He said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, in verse 4, so are children of the youth. And then he said, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Why is that? Because that's that seat of power. It's that position of authority. It's that one that has that ability to go down at the gate and go down where the government sits and where great men like Job sit. And he can speak with those men. You know why? Because he was raised in the house of God. He was raised in a family in the house of God. And those children with the heritage of the womb and the heritage of that family. And my friend, in the day of calamity, there's no greater safety than knowing that your children walk in truth. There's no greater delight to see your children walk in truth. And oh, my friend, I rejoice today. I rejoice because I've watched some families have been destroyed in sin, and yet God has intervened and brought those children to repentance. And I've watched families absolutely racked with sin, but God has intervened and brought those children to Jesus Christ. I've seen families so torn to pieces, but I've watched mom get saved, dad get saved, God intervene in their lives. We've seen preachers get saved, preachers' wives get saved. We've seen lost church members get saved. We've seen preachers' children, adult children get saved. In these days we're living. You know why? Because it's that heritage of the Lord to raise them in the house of God, to raise them under that precious seed of the Word of God. You want to be happy? Fill your quiver with children, and then let God do a work in their life. A dear brother, beloved friend of mine, an evangelist friend, and one day he had called me and was exhorting me over my children. And I said, brother, you realize that people, they are telling me not to have children. I listen to people, they say they're scared to raise children in this wicked world. And he said, brother, he said, you don't have to raise hellions. He said, you can raise godly children in the most vile, wicked world. He said, you don't have to raise hellions in your home. You can have godly children in your home. And that was an exhortation to me. That stirred within me. I've never forgot that. I've taken that to heart. You can raise godly children in this present world. But you yourself, my friend, you yourself must walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Take that precious seed to your children. Make them an heritage of your womb. Look for that day, my friend, when God begins to move upon the face of your children. And I'll say this in closing. You don't ever give your child assurance of salvation. You don't ever get them to repeat a prayer. You never get down on the side of the bed and get them to quote a sinner's prayer and pronounce them saved and brag about their salvation and brag like you've done something. God forbid. But let God do that work in them. And he that hath begun a good work will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. Let God stir within your children. You plant and you water, and you let the man of God plant, and you water, and you put your children under preaching, and you listen to the evangelist, put your children under preaching, put your children in the house of God, take your children to special meetings, put your children under the word of God, make your children listen to chapel services, make your children listen to YouTube, make your children listen to preaching, podcasts, whatever the case is, but put them under the word of God, that God can manifest himself to your children. See, we're in a day when people have fled from that. They're scared to put their children to preaching. They're afraid too much preaching for their families, too much church for their family. They think too much religion is going to drive their family away. But can I say to you, friend, I've watched a generation that's learned to fall in love with preaching. Some are saved, some are lost. But many of them were lost when they fell in love with preaching. And they started going to preach and started traveling to preach and started being under the word of God. And God transformed their life. God miraculously saved them. Put your children in the house of God. Quit being a sniveling wimp yourself. Get yourself under preaching. Start going to meetings. Put yourself under the word of God. Quit being so lazy and so indifferent, and travel where God is moving. Travel where God is stirring. Travel where preaching is, and submit to the preaching of the word of God. Bunch of godless wretches today saying they love God and can't go to the house of God and can't go to special services. God forbid. God forbid these churches that have no special services. God forbid these churches that no longer have evangelistic services. Proclaim everybody saved. Everybody loves God. The women dress like a bunch of heifers. The men act like a bunch of sodomites. And you go in there and say that you're saved by the good grace of God. God forbid that you sit there and look at that generation and pronounce them saved and not put them under the preaching of the word of God. God forbid this generation sit without preaching one day longer. Preach to them, my friend. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? The time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's where they are today. They no longer really love preaching. They love teaching. They like men that they can scratch their ears. They like men to go up there and tickle their fancy, but they really don't want a preacher. They don't want somebody to come and tell them what's wrong with them. Put your children in the house of God. Take it yourself. Learn to take preaching. Quit getting all offended by preaching. Quit getting all bent out of shape about preaching. Learn to take the preaching as the man of God dishes it out. May God help us this weekend. Have a great Lord's Day. Lord willing, we'll be back on Monday.
There's a lost soul who's tired of his sinning, and he longs to return to the Lord. As he cries for forgiveness and mercy, God is waiting.
You have been listening to the Daily Doctrine Podcast with Evangelist Tim McVeigh. For correspondence, please contact us through our website and someevangelists.com and use the contact form to connect with us. You may also subscribe to the podcast through our website or search for Daily Doctrine Evangelist Tim McVeigh on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, or Amazon. To write to us, please use our church address, which is Manasseh Community Baptist Church, 70 Back Hollow Road, Blaine, Pennsylvania, 17006. Thank you for listening, and we pray that the Lord will help each of us as we study and preach the Word of God. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in tomorrow. And remember to look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.
There only was strife. Now the angels of God are rejoicing, for the prodigal child has come home, and the saints all with gladness are singing.